Welcome to the Lord's Sunday on May 17th, 2020. Let us pray. Praise the Lord because He is good. Sing praises to His name because He is kind. He chose Jacob for Himself, the people of Israel for His own. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us this wonderful Sunday as Lord's Day. And as we lift your name, and we look up to you and looking for your grace, fall upon us, fill our hearts, be with us throughout the service, throughout the worship, throughout the message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today's message, Sign of Apostle, is a sequel to the previous message, Moses the Apostle. The Exodus text details God's encounter with Moses in two readings of Exodus and teaches us how God employs His signatory signs to encourage us. We are going to examine signs from God by three stages. First, signs of encouragement for me. Second, signs of experience with me. And third, signs of witnesses to the world and people. Let me read the scripture reading. Exodus chapter 3, verse 11 and 12 first. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Chapter 4, verse 1 through 9. Then Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, "Put out your hand and catch it by the tail." So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again, the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." And he put his hand inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous like snow. Then God said, "Put your hand back inside your cloak." So he put his hand back inside his cloak. And when he took it out, behold, it was restored like the rest of his flesh. "If they will not believe you," God said, "or listen to the first sign, they may believe the latter sign. If they will not believe even these two signs or listen to your voice, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground, and the water that you shall take from the Nile will become blood on the dry ground." Your task at hand may not be as monstrous and momentous as Moses, you feel. But we can certainly identify with the sense of being overwhelmed, can we? Because we too wrestle with the stressful feelings from repetitive house chores, financial burdens, demanding job and workload, working or living with emotionally demanding people, and general feeling of total exhaustion in dealing with the cumulative effects from all these. We all get a practical wisdom from today's texts, how God instructs to encourage Moses in principle also applies to us, because we too are being sent by God to bring the good news of His salvation in family and workplace, church, and community of friends and neighbors. First, three signs of encouragement for me. When I face intimidating task, my initial response goes like Moses. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and demand the release? I immediately size myself up to the size of a task and the people whom I have to overcome, been sent, let alone to successfully complete the task. Bring the people out of Egypt. I feel small, my effort inconsequential. In response to my natural response, God announces His signature signs to encourage us. This shall be the sign for you that you shall worship God on this very mountain. The transaction reveals three distinctive features of God's signature move, sign for us when we feel intimidated and discouraged. First, the scope of God's sign is not to assure us over the prospective outcome, nor a projection of a future. Instead, God transports Moses to imagine the future event from this very mountain. I call it a prophetic retrospect. What this sign tells you is not whether His word become a fact or not. You'll know it in retrospect that God has really been with us throughout the whole time. That is totally out of bounds in Moses' thinking. Because Moses might have expected that God is giving him something tangible so that he can be assured that he will carry out the task. But instead, God is already assuming that task has been done. But his challenge, his sign is that you're going to see that throughout the whole time I have been with you. That is his signature move. Paul applies the same prophetic perspective in his letter to the Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Remember that the reason that person has been anxious has not been resolved at all. But still, when you lift it up in thanksgiving and everything, you can be assured that His peace be with you. That is the sign of God is with you. As the risen Lord has appeared and said, peace be with you. Second, the intent of God's sign is to prompt Moses to leave the shepherding job and go and deliver the news. He's not detailing that the scope of his God's sign is not, how it is going to be about in the wilderness or how it is going to be about the promised land. He does not even mention about the Ten Commandments. He's just focusing on, can you leave now? Can you get on the task now? God is saying that you have waited for 80 years and will never leave it if you wait for a complete roadmap and perfect condition. Abraham made the same decision to leave when he was 75 years old. Leave your country, your people, and your father's household and go to the land. I will show you. The only certain thing was an urge to leave, and it was from God. God says, I will show you after you leave, not before. What is holding you back from following God's charge in your life? Embrace uncertainty because it is part of trusting God. Third, content of God's sign is to shift the Moses' focus from himself to God. Your focus should not be you and your ability, but I am who sends you. Your trepidation and negativity arose out from your assumption that you bear the ultimate responsibility. You are a mere messenger, not the message. I am God is the message. God challenges us to remember the two facts. First, that I will be with you, the presence of Emmanuel God. Second, that I have sent you my apostles' identity. I am being sent. Ultimately, my faith will be controlled and by the sender, not by me. I am anxious about the task feasibility while I am. God's concern is my stability for the task. This stability is measured by my capability in two areas. First, my capacity to welcome Emmanuel God. Second, my character refined by God's mission. Since this God of a burning bush, in which we find the messenger and message in one person, is none other than the pre-incarnate Son of God, Jesus. That's why that Jesus' Great Commission carries the same tone and component as is the case of Moses, because it is the same Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Second, three signs of experience on me. Moses kept rejecting the task. Even if I am being convinced, but how about the others? How do I make them on board with this outlandish idea? What if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? In response, God proposes a different kind of a sign set, the sign of my experience imprinted upon my life through my act of obedience, a sign of a collaboration between God and His apostle. The first, sign of authenticity. With this sign, God redirects Moses and his attention from the people and methods how to persuade them to Moses himself, an authentic conviction exemplified by personal experiences. Series of questions follows from God to Moses. How do you know the certainty of my word? What's your source of confidence? Do you mainly rely on others quoting the so-called authority, borrowing their testimony? Jesus was not interested in the opinions from people, but a genuine confession. But what about you? Who do you say that I am? And founded from Peter's, you are the Christ, the Son of living God. Please, he was so pleased even to announce, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. James chapter 1 verse 22 touches on the same subject, highlights this authenticity of Christian living by obedience for Christians. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Second, sign through act. God firstly puts the stop on the list of whys and excuses of Moses by one question. What is it that is in your hand? As if God is saying, Moses, let me invite some tangible and concrete elements in our discussions. Why haven't you begun with and from what you have, not from ideal circumstance that you've been waiting for 80 years, still analyzing the data? You know that one of the signature marks of a perfectionist is a procrastination. With this, Moses was first to locate and identify what he has in his hand. Staff, a simple shepherd's staff, was all it took for Moses to open the new era and new chapter in his and others' life. God's second order was throw it on the ground, however small it may look. Can you switch the ownership of yours that's in your hand over to me and my word. Your associations, your attachments, your belongingness, your habits. The point of order, his ordering, is not the random act of throwing at will. Let it be or let it go. No, but following the specific command of God by the will of God with a concrete act of obedience. Thirdly, God challenged Moses to stretch out the hand and grab the object, then turn into a snake by the tail. It went so against the conventional way of handling the snake, thwarting the harmful bite by grabbing the neck. When he obeyed, Moses, I mean, it became a staff again in his hand. Whatever point God is driving at, one thing is clear. This must be a very important act of obedience, because since then, this staff turned into a snake was employed repeatedly at each momentous scene of a saving act by God. The first miracle to turn Nile River into blood, God specified Moses to use the very staff you turned into a snake. Then the same staff was used at parting the Red Sea and struck the rock for the water. Take in your hand the staff with which you strike the Nile. Moses lifted up this staff at the first major battle of Israelites against the enemy, the Amalekites, assisted by two others. Scripture says, I will stand on the top of the hill holding the staff that God told me to carry. The scene foreshadows the three crosses on the mountain Golgotha, skull, the cross of Jesus in the middle. We see the close typological connection between the staff, serpent, and Jesus is the embodiment of both. How about the causality between the act of catching the serpent by tail and the staff, wholesomely back to render salvation, not only for Moses, but for the whole of Israelites during the wilderness journey? Catch it by the tail, that they may believe their Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has appeared to you. This God is none other than Jesus Christ, who appeared for men as the ultimate descendant and the fulfillment of their firstborn covenant child. The reason Moses was unscathed and saved from the fangs of a serpent was this Son of God, as a woman's offspring, has crushed the head of a serpent. I'll put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. And he will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. So the reason that Moses was safe was that even though he didn't see it, but the serpent head was being crushed by the snake. It was a dead one. So no matter what happens, this dead snake is not going to hurt Moses. And Moses had to believe that Jesus had dealt with all my curses and sufferings, pains at the cross. Now that he wanted to give us his risen life, and the way that he is going to give us the risen life through my obedience, grabbing by the snake, by the tail. So the ultimate goal of my act of obedience, along with the associating miracle, is to highlight the person and work of Jesus Christ, who was once dead but alive again and lives with us as Emmanuel, God be with us. Jesus lamented repeatedly that people who do not properly understand the signs. From Gospel John, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me, not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and your fill. Do not work for the food that spoils, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. Third, sign by heart. This letter sign is designed for people to witness the transformation that has happened to you in obedience with God's will, if we will, we will. The sign through your personal sanctification. The beginning of gospel transformation is the first step is to realize who you really are. Like infectious, asymptomatic coronavirus carrier, Moses experienced the depraved and contagious state of his own heart when his hand touched his heart. Both Moses and his sister Miriam, without God's covering of protection and mercy, were like lepers without hope and cure, left to die. The anger of the Lord burned against them and he left them. When the cloud lifted from the above the tent, there stood Miriam leprous like snow. Prophet Jeremiah summarizes this condition of man. The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. He will be like a bush in the wastelands. This stage is necessary because God does not use per person who is not aware of his brokenness, his shortcomings, his sinfulness. God looks for a messenger who personally knows the pain of a wounded heart, aching of a broken heart, and the suffering of a bleeding heart. God's commissioning bears the fruit, not because of people's righteousness and good acts, but in spite of their faults and failures. Then God said, put your hand back inside your cloak to witness the hand be restored back. The second step of restoration process is in obedience of God's command to put his leprous manifested hand back inside the cloak. The only way to salvation, to bring the dead to resurrection, is to look to Christ. So for Miriam, Moses cried out to the Lord, "Oh God, please heal her." Moses' heart obedience points at Christ and his work of resurrection. God asked Moses to create and hoist a bronze snake for people to look at and be saved. Jesus cites this bronze snake event with two components, snake and sea, to form the only way of eternal life through him. Just as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the desert, in the same way the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Keep experiencing the renewal of your heart by his gospel. It is a bittersweet sign that God is keeping you as his messenger and apostle. Lastly, third, three signs of witnesses to people and the world by the apostle and God. After first two stages of my personal encounter with God, application of gospel message in my life experience, and by my heart transformation, work of godliness, what Moses had to do, left to do actually, was to go and show himself as it is and present God evident in his deeds and words. Moses did just that. Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses, and then Moses performed all the miracles in front of the people they believed. They bowed down and worshipped. When matter became too big for Moses beyond his personal witness domain, he simply expands the scope of his witnessing, still using the same step, to the bigger arena of the world, but go and deliver the same message of God to all of them with a clear mandate to be saved by the word of God, Jesus Christ, his word. Became flesh, died and live again. Taking in your hand the staff that was changed into a snake. Then Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded. In the presence of the king and his officers, Aaron raised his stick and struck the surface of the river, and all of the water in it was turned into blood. Ultimately, Moses' task is to bring the people out of Egypt, but it is not his job to make it happen. It will be the outcome of his effort of witnessing to the word and acts of God, first to him and his life, then others, whoever listens to the message. The instance says the rest of 10 plagues rolling in until the final act of Passover by the firstborn of every living being stops the curse. It is not a coincidence that John picked up this water turned to red theme when he recorded the first miracle of water turned into wine at the wedding. This quote from John, this is the first of his miraculous signs Jesus performed at Cana in Galilee. He thus revealed his glory, and his disciples put their faith in him. You and I being called and sent as apostles to God's people and God's word. My role is to bring the people to the occasion to witness the word and work of Savior Jesus, the Son of God. I also keep applying that role to myself and my circumstances. Praise be God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your wonderful message. Convict our hearts. Convict our hearts. Help us to embark on the journey of discipleship, to follow your lead and experience that you are with me no matter what circumstance. And I am being sent and protected, guarded by you and you alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.